HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Welcome to our latest episode of A View from the Stands. And just 4 short months after the end of IPL 2020, here we are with our preview episode for IPL 2021, which starts this Friday. There's plenty to talk about given all the shuffling that took place among the 8 franchises in this auction. So let's get cracking by bringing in my co-host. Rudra, I'm immediately going to put you on the spot by asking you who's going to win this edition. How about that for going for the jugular?
But before we get into who's going to win this IPL, I have something else that's on my mind, which is this IPL going to happen at all? Considering the state that we are in with the second wave of the pandemic, and you know, I mean, and it's already surpassed everything that we saw in the first wave. And the graph is, it's on an upward curve right now. So it's going to be a nightmare. I mean, I was speaking to some of the teams, people in the teams in for the last couple of days about their experience in the bio bubble. And it does seem like there's a very elaborate system in place, you know, like every team is holed up in a section that's cordoned off section of a hotel, which is meant only for the team and its officials and all, and there's hotel staff there, but everybody from the hotel staff to the team and the officials, they've all gone through 7 days of isolation. They've been tested every 2 or 3 days. Nobody can leave that space. Even the hotel staff who are locals can't go back home. So they're all on site in that little thing, dedicated elevator for them, which is the service elevator at the back of the hotel, one dedicated staircase, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's very elaborate. And they've created a gym in one suite instead of using the hotel gym, which they can't go because that's out of the bubble area. So all of that stuff is happening. But even with everything there, just the way the surge is going right now, it seems like, you know, and just because the number of people involved in this, and it's not just the teams and its officials, it's also all the staff that's required at the grounds. And we know that the Wankhede ground has 12 ground staff who have tested positive. Yep. So you've got all the people laying out banners and doing the lighting and the broadcast people and the electricians and security and all kinds of things, right? So I don't know how smoothly this IPL can run, whether it is going to get off the ground at all. But let's hope for the best. With that troubling thought out of my mind, I think it's still going to be Mumbai Indians because they still have the best team on paper that I can imagine. Though, you know, there are some very strong individual performers in various teams who can, obviously, this is T20, can turn around a match in the space of a few overs. But for a really, really well-rounded team, Mumbai Indians is still the number one.
Yeah, I can see that you've taken the safe route out. So well done. I'd said that the odds are against you. You perhaps chose the one with the greatest odds, Mumbai Indians.
Hold on. If you're taunting me with taking the safe route out, let me also say who I want.
Who you want is very different from who you think is. Like, if you were a betting man, you wouldn't bet on who you want, right?
I might just. I'm an emotional person.
Okay, all right. Okay. So, who do you want, Rudra?
I want Rajasthan Royals to win.
Oh, okay, fine. Cool. All right. So, that would make it a second title for Rajasthan. Rudra's always had a soft spot for this side, which is now going to be led by Sanju Samson. So, let's just get down to it and start talking about Rajasthan Royals. They got rid of Steve Smith at the end of the previous season, which is, of course, the big talking point then. What do you make of this squad, Rudra? Samson is leader. Your thoughts on that? And of course, like the fact that they have, the three great Englishmen in their ranks in Ben Stokes, Jofra Archer and Joss Butler.
So I think firstly, I think it was, I was not happy with. I can't say whether it was the right decision or the wrong decision. Or obviously, the decision was something that was considered before it was done. But Steve Smith, sending him out of the squad, that was not something I was happy with as a Rajasthan fan. But overall, okay. So Sanju Samson, he's a guy who's suddenly finds himself a little far back in the pecking order for the Indian team, considering the huge number of options that have just exploded over the last few months, and Rishabh Pant's crazy return to form, KL Rahul, who also keeps wickets. So you've got all these explosive wicketkeeper batsmen. And Samson was at one point of time really considered to be, the successor to MS Dhoni and stuff like that. But he slipped from that since. And then there was this period when you had four or five people all competing for that place, during the 2019 World Cup. You really didn't know who was the best fit in that. So I think those questions have been answered a little. And maybe that will inspire Samson to actually perform even better, to kind of put himself back in that context, put himself back in that place. So there's, you've got that going for him. I have no idea how he is as a captain. But if you've got Kumar Sangakkara by your side as your mentor, I think that's a very good combination, as a great player to have by your side. I think that will be a lot of learning for him as well. But, just getting to the squad, and you named the three players that's going to be key for them already. Ben Stokes, Jofra Archer, Joss Butler. You've got one player who can just about do anything at any point of the match and turn it around, which is Ben Stokes. And we've seen him do it again and again. And he's just like the most incredible cricketer around, I think.
Along with Joss Butler.
And in Jofra Archer, you have, and all the data supports this, the best fast bowler in the history of the IPL. Nobody takes wickets with the frequency that he does. Nobody bowls at a lower economy rate than he does. I mean, can you imagagine that? Like, and this is a death overs bowler, right?
Absolutely.
Yet nobody can score off him. And he keeps taking wickets. I mean, that is such a deadly combination. He's complete. I mean, you can't play him. That's the kind of bowler he is. So, yeah, to have Jofra, but unfortunately, they don't have Jofra, do they, for like three or four matches, because he went and cut his hand cleaning his fish tank, and now he's got like glass embedded and whatever, and there's no Jofra. So, so that's a problem for them. But they
do have a really young Indian fast bowler in their ranks who, we're all very excited about, in Kartik Tyagi. I think he's certainly someone to watch out for. And then the old hand in Jaydev were not cut.
The most expensive buy of the season, Chris Morris.
The
interesting thing about him is that, we've not really seen him perform to that kind of potential so far in the IPL. But I was doing a little bit of a deeper data, exploring the data a little bit more. And I found out that actually, in terms of fast bowlers, nobody induces more false shots from batsmen than Chris Morris does. He gets more edges, more hits, people swinging at him and missing than any other bowler in the IPL, which is,
incredible.
A fantastic statistic to have on your side, because what that means is that sooner or later, it's going to be money in the bank. Right, it's going to start That's coming it. Back to you. All the hits, all the near misses are going to hit the stumps or induce an edge, which will go to a fielder. So he does a lot of things right. So let's see if he can keep his fitness up and do that. And then there's Joss Butler, who's just a phenomenal T20 batsman at any stage of the game. So that's me, going nuts about Rajasthan Royals. I don't think
as always. What I want to do now is quickly shift our gaze and attention to the three units that haven't won the IPL ever.
Yeah.
Because I as a betting man, I'm going to put my neck on the chopping block this time around and say it's the winner of IPL 2021 is either going to be Punjab Kings, the erstwhile Kings 11 Punjab unit, that's what they're known as now, or RCB, the ever-threatening, the perennial contenders. or Delhi Capitals, who came as close as the final last year and, you know, very, very narrowly missed out on a title. So, I'll tell you what. Let's start with Delhi Capitals because there's a lot to talk about right here.
No, wait, hold on. But who are you putting your money on? You didn't say that.
Okay, fine. All right. It's going to be Punjab Kings this time around, I think. Yeah,
and is that an emotional thing or have you considered your consequences?
No emotions. Zero emotions here. I'm very excited about, David Malan playing for this side now. He's, of course, the number one ranked T20 batsman in the world. He kind of showed why he is by the last T20 in Ahmedabad. And KL Rahul is a fabulous leader. I mean, it's weird, right? Because this guy basically hasn't captained at any level. As far as I know, as far as my knowledge goes, I don't think he's captained Karnataka, maybe except for the one-offs, maybe not even that. And really took to it last season. I mean, there were some really narrow misses for Kings 11, as they were known then in the beginning of the season, where they lost six out of seven matches. And then, like his previous team in RCB back in the 2016 season, they had to win a lot of matches in a row to get to the playoffs. They nearly did it. They put together five wins on the trot. Rahul obviously leading all of this with the bat as well. He scored 670 runs. He's got fabulous numbers in the power play overs, in the non-power play overs, in the middle overs, wherever, right? He's just like an incredible batsman. And there's something about some very, very special players who kind of like, you know, step it up that much more with that extra saddle of responsibility, right? And Rahul is certainly one of them. Now, I'm going to stop talking about Punjab Kings very soon. This is the reason why I think they're going to win. But they also have a fabulous...
They do have a great batting, but what about the bowling? I mean, they've got Jai Richardson in this time.
Yeah.
What do you think of him? And have you seen enough of him? And I'm convinced about the batting, of course. And they've got Nicholas Puran as well, who's very good.
Of course. Yeah. So Chris Jordan is, you know, like with all his variations and all that, like he's a certain starter for this side. I think he did win them, a super over last in the previous edition. But yeah, with Jai Richardson, he kind of like, you know, really made a wave in the lead up to the 2019 World Cup where he was taking a bunch of wickets in India and in the UAE against Pakistan. He was doing really, really well and kind of petered out a little bit. Like, you know, he wasn't really around when India went visiting Australia late last year in the ODI leg or in the T20 leg. But now he's back. So let's see how that goes. I mean, he's obviously an extremely talented man. There's Mohammad Shami as well, who at one point was the best death over bowler in short format cricket. So yeah. it's a very good mix again. Murugan Ashwin, who's a fabulous spinner. They've got a bunch of guys. Of course, you know, this guy whose name is pronounced in eight different ways. Let me stick with Moises Henrique. Isn't that how the Portuguese would say it? Because you know, he's okay. So, by the way,
it sounds like how the French would say it.
Okay, fine. How the French would say it. Fine. All right. But some trivia for you. You know, he's born on the very island that Cristiano Ronaldo was born on.
Oh, really? No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. His family moved to Australia much later. But yeah, it's that very island. I'm forgetting the name of the island, of course. But yes. So, yeah, all in all, great team. Are they going to win? That's the big question. You can never say, but I'm rooting for them because I think it's high time that we have a new winner. And I know a lot of people will be rooting for Delhi Capitals because of Rishabh Pant. And this is where I turn to you again. Your thoughts on this side?
No. We don't talk about Rishabh Pant on this podcast anymore. That's it. If you talk about Rishabh Pant on this podcast is over.
It becomes a Rishabh Pant.
That's all we'll talk about. Yes. No. So
okay, let's leave Rishabh Pant out of it. Prithvi Shaw. So I'm just going to throw names at you from this team and you can tell me what you think.
Prithvi Shaw, I think, is back with a vengeance. Though he, I think, you know, as in because he had such a poor tour of Australia, he failed so badly, and his flaws were so apparent, and all of that stuff. And then, but he went back and worked at it, and we know how superbly he did in the domestic tournament. I think he's on that roll. He's got form on his side right now, and I think he's going to be probably going to be really, really good. But the only thing about it is that I have a feeling, like, you know, you get that feeling when managers and players sometimes have a little bit of a falling out, and I get the feeling that Ricky Ponting and he don't get along too well.
Of course,
I don't know if
it's very evident.
No, maybe that's just a ploy. Maybe sometimes managers do this, you know, just to fire up people. So I don't know if that's a ploy.
Yeah. Fair point. Yeah. Yep.
But if it's not, and if it's actually a falling out, then that will be a difficult thing to navigate for both the manager as well as the player. Shikhar Dhawan in fantastic form. You know, just carrying on from all the stuff that he's done over the last few years.
But he's under a lot of pressure, though, Rudra. I mean, like, you know, yes, he scored those two back-to-back hundreds in the previous IPL. And yes, he found form later on in the ODI series against England last month. But he kind of lost his place in the T20 side, right? In the T20 series against England. And this is World Cup year. So I think he's kind of playing not just for Delhi Capitals at this moment, but also for his place in the Indian team. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you may be completely right. And he probably is. But I don't think that puts a lot of pressure on him, because I don't think he's that kind of a person who kind of, you know, feels pressured by such things. I think it's going to be a motivational thing for sure, but he's going to take it lightly. You know, he's going to wear it lightly on his shoulders and just go for it. So that's, I think that one's going to do really well.
And you've spoken about Steve Smith already, but your thoughts on him at Capitals, I know you always have his best interests at heart, but how do you think he's going to fare?
To be honest, I don't really care about Steve Smith as a T20 batsman. So I don't really care about what he does in the IPL. I mean, you know, whatever. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever to the fact that he's one of the greatest ever to wield a bat in cricket. So, yeah, okay. You know, if he does well, good for him, good for DC, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, then I suppose those are your very thoughts on Kagiso Rabada as well. I mean, of course, like a wonderful bowler in all formats, but you really love him for his test exploits, although he's kind of like always kills it in the IPL for Delhi.
Yeah, see, I think for the test bowlers, especially the fast bowlers, I don't know the technical reason for this, but it seems like if you're a really good fast bowler in tests, you pretty much do really well in T20s as well, especially in the IPL. We've seen that with Jasprit Bumrah. We've seen that with you know, Pat Cummins, maybe a little bit up and down, but mostly really good. And Rabada has been fantastic in the IPL. Last season, he was brilliant. Jofra is another example. So I think the really good test fast bowlers automatically do really well in T20s as well, just because they have that. Firstly, all of these guys have a lot of pace. They're all express bowlers. They all have very, very tight control over their line and length. And I think that, you know, with those basics in place, it's very difficult to go wrong. You don't need to then look and search for, you know, this variation or that variation, or you know, you're racking your brain trying to come up with a solution to why the batsman is hitting you out of the park. I don't think you need to do all of that if you can bowl consistently at that, just excellent at the back point of the length, and the ball leaps up at you. You're not going to get hit that much.
And very quickly, to wrap up on Delhi Capitals, can I just like take out, roll out a few names for you? Because their bowling line is a bit we spoke about Rabada already. Apart from Rabada, they've got Anrich Nautia, who of course like absolutely killed it in the previous season. And has also been starring for South Africa since. Umesh Yadav, who was dropped by RCB, so he kind of has a point to prove. Tom Curran, with all his variations and, you know, his limited over experience. And then they've got Ravichandran Ashwin, of course. Ishant Sharma, Chris Wokes. So I mean these guys will win
test matches on any given day.
They win test matches with just Akshar Patel.
Yes.
They've got Akshar Patel too.
Yeah. They will win test matches with just Akshar Patel. That's exactly.
And they've got a guy who has a penchant of taking hat-tricks in Amit Mishra.
Amit Mishra is getting a ball at this.
Perfect. He might just prove you wrong. He might be their leading wicket taker at the end of all of this. Oh, there's Avesh Khan as well. So, you know... So my smart bet is not on Punjab Kings anymore. It's on Delhi Capitals. I've changed.
Okay.
I've turned court right here on this episode.
But good reason, good call there, because that bowling lineup is something else.
Zabada, Akshar. Yeah, it truly is. I think we really have to move on from Delhi Capitals, because there's one name that you and I haven't spoken about, and you know he's always drawing us towards him like a magnet. So before we do a Rishabh Pant's episode, let's quickly move over to the team that ought to have won it. How many seasons have passed so far? 13. They ought to have won it 12 times, but they're still on zero titles. You know who I'm talking about. Let's quickly get down to Kohli's Bangalore.
Just because they're of this statistic, it seems like, you know, they have, it's a bit like South Africa. They seem like the team that cannot be beaten, but then when it comes to the crunch, maybe not so much anymore, but they really used to be, you know, those, and I don't want to use that word because I feel it's kind of derogatory.
The C word? You don't want to use the C word?
I don't want to use the C word. Yeah. But that's a bit like South Africa of the 90s and stuff like that. That this team, it's full of amazing players. Virat Kohli, of course, the highest run getter in IPLs, possibly the best T20 batsman ever, just in terms of how many runs he gets, how he paces his innings, how difficult it is to get him out. You can't get him out. And, you know, and he's found that, there used to be a little bit of this criticism that he doesn't score fast enough, but it seems like he's really found that extra gear when he needs to accelerate. He really scores fast enough now. You know, and ABD, of course.
The question was never about Virat Kohli. We know what he can do, but can the remaining guys do what he can do? That's always been the problem, right?
Honestly, they have the team to do it. They have ABD.
They've always had the team to do it, I think.
Yeah.
But why haven't they?
I don't know. I can't say. But maybe this time with... I'll tell you who for me are the two people who can actually change everything for them. And it's not Glenn Maxwell. I sincerely do not believe it's Glenn Maxwell. Right. I think it's Washington Sundar and Mohammad Siraj.
So both these guys were pretty much unknown entities for a while. Siraj, especially when the last IPL happened in the UAE. He bowled those two... I think he's the only bowler ever to bowl two maiden overs in the same IPL match, which is pretty insane. And we immediately said, you can go back to that episode where we spoke about Siraj and we said, this guy's going to make a great test cricketer. And hey, look what happened, right? Like, he went to Australia and absolutely tore it up. Not an unknown quantity anymore. Neither is Navdeep Saini. Both these guys are test cricketers. So it's going to be fabulous to watch. And Kyle Jameson, right?
Like, Kyle Jameson comes in,
absolutely. So, why is Sundar the standout man for you?
So I like to pull out this weird data stuff, but the reason being that in the last two seasons of the IPL, if you look at just the middle overs, which is over 7 to 15, of any bowler who's bowled more than 100 balls in that phase, nobody has been hit less than Washington Sundar.
He seems
batsmen find it very, very difficult to hit him for boundaries between over 7 and 15. So you've got that, you know, Sundar controlling that period, that phase over there. I think Kyle Jameson is going to just rip it up. Just because, again, I think he's got that thing that all the great fast bowlers have. He's really fast. He's got fabulous control over his line and length. He's really tall. I think he's just the kind of bowler that does well in the IPL. even in subcontinental conditions, I think he's going to be good. And Mohammad Siraj, of course, you know, he was always fabulous, but now he's found all that extra confidence, and he's gone through the kind of training and exposure that, you know, being with the Indian team gives you on two incredible tours. So, you know, he's got all of that firepower suddenly to add to his already, you know, inherent abilities. So, wow, I think it's going to be great. But can they win it? Oh, I can't say, boss. they don't look like...
Yeah, I mean, they can't say either. Now we have to kind of talk about four teams, and each of them have won the IPL at some point or the other. One has won it way more than the rest, so we'll keep Mumbai Indians for last. But
You know what? Here's my suggestion. I think we should just gloss over Chennai Super Kings. I think they are not a team that can challenge anybody in this IPL.
I'm quite excited about them, actually. So let's do CSK then. Because we're going to see Raina after a year's break.
You go ahead about them.
All right. And I think CSK is going to be the dark horse of the season. Raina has not, he has plenty to prove despite having retired from international cricket. He did not play the previous season. And I think, the IPL is pretty much what made him the cricketer that he is. And this is kind of the season, I think, where he takes the baton over from MS Dhoni and runs with it. Talking about Dhoni, this is the longest that, Indian cricket possibly hasn't seen him. Okay, that's not true, because immediately after the World Cup in 2019, he disappeared for more than a year and a half before the next IPL. So, yeah, fine. This is the second longest that we haven't seen MS Dhoni, and that's a good reason to kind of tune into CSK matches. Rituraj Gaikwad completely, turned CSK's fortunes around right at the very end of their worst season, which was the previous season. He showed that he's kind of the guy to watch out for, not just while batting for CSK, but also a possible knock on the Indian team's door, but not in a World Cup year. Maybe immediately after that, he's going to be one of the guys who is going to be blooded in almost immediately. Shardul Thakur, of course, he's been with this team for a couple of years now, and as good as it gets at his pace and with his variations in this form of the game. But I'm really excited about three guys. Robin Uthappa, who's played for a bunch of clubs before, famously winning the title twice with KKR. But last season, he was in Rajasthan Royals. He, along with Smith, were both deboarded. And Uthappa's come to CSK. And he claimed immediately after coming on board that, he always did want to play with Dhoni, who was his first captain in international cricket in the IPL, and now he's got his chance. Moeen Ali, again, dropped from RCB at the end of last season. He also has plenty to prove, especially with all that happened with, Ed Smith, the chief selector of the England team, and everything that went down after the Test series, where, he was blamed for wanting to go back home when, they do have a rotation policy on board, and everybody in that test squad did get to go back home, especially because, they're playing 17 test matches this year, England, that is. So, lots of people with points to prove, but no one has a bigger point to prove than Cheteshwar Pujara, who, of course, hasn't played an IPL in a very, very, very long time. Been a long hiatus, and not because, he took any kind of a sabbatical. It's just that none of the IPL teams were, picking him. And, a lot of them believed that he just didn't have it to play T20 cricket. So, you never know. I mean, this could basically be his second coming. He could. Some of the stuff that's coming out of the CSK camp tells me that he could well hit the long ball. And, we've seen videos of him having changed his stance and his batting position and, clearing out his front leg and collaring balls into the chepauk stands. So, yeah, that's me on CSK. I certainly do think they are the dark horse, so do watch out for them.
And I think they are a recipe for disaster. But, Well, okay, let's we don't have much time, but so I want to talk about another team who I think are clear contenders, and that's Sunrisers Hyderabad. Simply because, I mean, look at the firepower they have. They've got David Warner, who's clearly one of the best batsmen ever to play in the IPL. In that format, he's unbeatable. He's fantastic. He scores really fast, scores a lot of runs. When he's on in flow, it's very, very difficult to stop him.
True.
And on top of that, you've got Johnny Bairstow. And we all know what he's capable of and what he did in the ODI series against India. We've got Jason Roy, who's another guy who just clubs the ball out of the park any given opportunity. And we know he does that, unlike with Chetishwar Pujara, where we don't know. With Jason Roy, we do know. And we've got Kane Williamson, who's not like with Steve Smith. I don't really care what he does in T20s. He's a fantastic batsman. So, you know, somewhere there in the middle overs where you need an anchoring role, you need somebody to keep taking off the runs. You don't think Kane Williamson can do it? I think he really can.
Absolutely. So
they've got all of that batting firepower. And then they've got Rashid Khan.
Of course.
Who, like Jofra, is really like, I think just after Jofra or with Jofra, the best bowler to have operated in the IPL in the last three seasons. It doesn't matter what phase of the match you're in, you know, he's going to stop runs and he's going to take wickets. He's going to do both for you. So Rashid Khan, Natarajan, who we saw what he did last year, and I'm so excited to see him back again, nailing those Yorkers in the death overs.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's a team with a fantastic death over bowling pair. I'm not too sure about the rest of the bowling for them. And brilliant, brilliant batsmen who can just hit and keep hitting. So they are a team to watch out for.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I may just add, Riddhiman Saha kept Johnny Bairstow on the bench by the end of the previous season with some incredible hitting of his own, which kind of matched Rishabh Pant in many ways. So let's see if that can happen again. But I'm going to quickly move on and talk about KKR, a team that very few people outside of Calcutta seem to be excited about. But let me just quickly talk about three guys, Harbhajan Singh, who now plays for KKR. What I find most interesting, and I thought of this just before recording this podcast, is Bhajji's, of course, you know, for a guy who's taken 420 test wickets and all of that, he's best known for that, you know, 2000, that great series in 2001, where he took 32 wickets. Now, he's represented all three venues in the IPL. So, you know, he started off with Mumbai, which is where that first test happened. Then he played for CSK, which is where the third test happened. Now he's going to Calcutta, which was his real, like, claim to fame, right? So, yeah, I mean, him in that series, like, just forever joined at the hip. Yeah, there isn't a week that goes by when I don't think about the 2001 series. So, you know, you can leave it up to me to find trivia like this, right? So, other people to get excited about, Nitish Rana, I'm a very, very big fan, always have been. Shubman Gill, of course, we also already did. And then the old hands in Sunil Narayan and Owen Morgan, DK, of course, Andre Russell, lots of people to be excited about. Shakib Al Hasan, he missed the previous season because of his ban. Now he's back. So, good for him. And who else? Nobody else.
Prasidh Krishna did fantastic in the ODIs.
The Indian chain bond. Yeah, spot on. Lockie Ferguson, right? Who can just come and dig it in, early shot, and, you know, make the ball talk, as they say. I think that's about it.
But again, like CSK, I don't think they make the cut in terms of, they're just a shade below, I think, the other teams in terms of both the batting firepower as well as their bowling. Which brings us to, of course, the team,
one team left, which is why I was wrapping up this episode, because it's Mumbai Indians. Do you or I have anything new to add on this team?
Not really. We can just kind of name them and then leave it there. Yeah, like exactly. Rohit Sharma, Surya Kumar Yadav, Jasprit Bumrah. I think we've spoken about all
Hardik Pandya.
Kunal Pandya now. Even Jimmy Neesham. I don't know what to. There's not much to speak about these guys.
But I'm quite excited to see how Piyush Chawla does here, And also the first ever team to, you know, have a father and a son represent them. And it's not a very old, you know, league. It's just 14 years old. Sachin played the first four. And now Arjun Tendulkar is in the squad. So, yeah, let's see if he gets a go. Should be fun to watch. But in that side, I think that just might be a little difficult. Maybe once they qualify like really early for the playoffs, they could give him a run. But otherwise, that's a side that's completely set in stone. I mean, their core, yeah. Their peripheral, yeah. Players.
Off it's them. Not. Yeah. It's not just the side set in stone. It's even the backups that are set in stone.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this episode has also now been, locked and done. So we'll catch you once the season begins, and we'll have a whole lot more to talk about every single week. So do join us then. Thank you, Rudra, and hope we have a good season this year. This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on @HTSmartcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.